chapter 3. We'll read from verse 21 to verse 26. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Last week, we titled our message, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear. And I think we have to continue that thought. In Romans 1:18 to 3:20, and I'm just keep drilling this into your heads. Romans 1, verse 18 to 3:20, Paul looks over the historical period from Adam to the death and resurrection of Christ. And Paul gives his indictment of man in regards to his relationship with God. And his charge, as Paul worked through the scriptures, his charge was that all are under the power of sin, the pagan as well as Israel, any Jew. Paul says, we are all under sin, both Jew and Gentile. Paul exposed through the word of God, through the law, Paul exposed the devastating character of man's depravity. He says, the law spoke. The law spoke, and this is what God's word said. There is none righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. No one seeks God. All have turned away. None have done good. Not even one, and there is no fear of God. God, in his righteousness, he responds to man's ungodliness and unrighteousness, because God is righteous, and in his justice, he responds to this. Man's unrighteousness demonstrates God's righteousness, in that God judges the world and inflicts wrath on all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Paul tells us in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And then in Romans 3:5-6, he says, but if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? The God who inflicts wrath is not unrighteous, is he? You see, it's not unrighteous that God inflicts wrath. It's because God is righteous that he deals with sin. So the righteous God, in righteousness, deals with sin. And the problem is that all of us, all men, all women, all children, all peoples on the earth, we are all under sin. We are all under death. And we are all under condemnation, because we all sin. Because we're all, our makeup is sin. We are children of wrath, as Paul says in Ephesians. And our behavior in the old age, what was demonstrated was the wrath of God against sin. And this should bring us to a very important question. Now, last week we said we only appreciate the cure when we accept the diagnosis, right? And that should bring us to a very important question. From the human side, how can such corrupt beings ever be in a relationship with the God of Scripture, the righteous one? How can we ever be in a relationship where we're in the right with him and not in the wrong? It's quite incredible. The God of righteousness. In the scriptures, it says in Genesis 6:5, and God looked upon the earth. He looked upon the earth. And God, he doesn't just see surface things, all right? God, when he looks right into you, inside of you, where no man can see. And this is what it says in Genesis. God looked upon the earth, and he looked at man, and he saw that the intent and the imagination of man's heart was on evil continually. Now, you may say, well, that's pretty hard, but that's what God sees. We may not measure ourselves that way, but that's how God sees us. How can we be in relationship with a God who is righteous and we who are always sinning? Now, on man's side, can sinful man ever be righteous in God's sight and not be regarded as under sin and under wrath? Can that relationship ever exist? From God's side, his justice, his righteousness demands condemnation of mankind. And yet we know the heart of God in the scriptures is that God's love reaches out to man. We have his justice demanding that sin be punished, and we have his love saying a desire for a relationship. How's that going to work out? Well, Romans 3:21 to 26, it gives us the answer to both. It gives us an answer on the human side, and it gives the answer on the divine side. In his Bible, the late pastor and theologian, Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse, in his Bible, it had been told that on this text, Romans 3:21 to 26, he drew a heart. And he subscribed right around the text a heart. And he put a side note. I am convinced today, after these many years of Bible study, that these verses are the most important in the Bible. So Cranfield, in his commentary in Romans, says, this is the heart right here. This is the heart of the gospel right here in this text. Let's break it down by God's grace. Let's pray. Father, we're about to enter into the joy of the Lord. We are about to enter into the teaching that sets us free, that gives us life and hope and power to live for you. Our Father, open our eyes that we might see. In Jesus' name, amen. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. Up until this point, Paul's main discussion was on sin and wrath. Now he's turning to discuss a new theme, a new subject, and that is the righteousness of God. So what is this righteousness of God like that he is going to discuss? The great hope for sinful man and God's answer to his own justice is found here. What is this righteousness of God like? Well, first Paul says this, first. The righteousness of God is apart from the law, and it has been manifested. The term the righteousness of God was used way back in Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. Paul says there, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. And here Paul tells us, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. So in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, and apart from the law, the righteousness of God is manifested. It's the same righteousness Paul is talking about. He says that it is known in the gospel, and in the gospel and apart from the law, we can see the righteousness of God. So we know that the righteousness of God is found in the gospel, and it is apart from the law. But what does that mean? It's apart from the law. We know it's in the message of the gospel, but it's apart from the law. You see, under law, which is what all of God's creatures are under, and we saw that last week. Remember that? We did a survey from Adam all the way through the history of being under law. Under law, which was the place all men are under, righteousness, which puts man right with God, comes from the action of man. That's what accountability is all about. If God says, do not lie, what does he expect? You not to lie. So, and how does he measure you? By whether you lied or not, right? So righteousness is doing the right and not doing the wrong. It's an action that we do. We act righteously by obeying God. So under law, then, righteousness is what we achieve through our action. Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on the law shall live by that law. By that righteousness, excuse me. So in the law, by the law, and under the law, righteousness is the achievement of man. Under law, instead of man gaining righteousness by the law, justification before God was impossible through the law, because through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So under law, instead of us gaining righteousness by the law which pointed to life reveals our sin. Paul says about the law in Romans 7, 9 to 10, I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to be result of death in me. But now, something very important has happened. But now, something new has come. In this world of sin and death and condemnation, something has arrived from heaven that is for our good. God has intervened. Now, under law and under the period from Adam to Christ's death and resurrection, there was something that was revealed from God, from heaven. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. But now something new, something else has been revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed or has been manifested. In the old age from Adam, the wrath of God was revealed. But now in the new, the righteousness of God is being revealed. In the old age, righteousness was by works of law. But now from the law and apart from the law, the righteousness of God appears. Now, so really, there is this righteousness of law works, and there is this righteousness of God. And they seem to be opposed. So let's see. Paul says in Romans 9:30-32, what shall we say then? that the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it. That is a righteousness that is by faith. But that Israel pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as it were, based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. Life by works of law is a stumbling stone. And it's also very useless. Paul says in Philippians 3:9, Paul says, I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So all of a sudden, we got this righteousness by law, and we got this righteousness that comes by faith. And somehow, the righteousness by law is a stumbling stone, and it's useless. But what really matters is this righteousness that comes through faith. So, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is being manifested. So, maybe we don't understand it yet, but at least I hope you can see that we're pointing to the righteousness of God in two different ways. One way is foolish, because it's impossible. And the other way is what we need, but we still don't understand. Well, what is this righteousness of God? Now Paul says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. It was even witnessed to by the law and the prophets. So first, the law of God, the righteousness of God is apart from the law. Second, it was witnessed to by the law and the prophets. You see, this righteousness of God was not a new plan of God. It was not an afterthought. It wasn't that in the old times God says people are saved by their works, but that didn't work, that failed, so in the new time people will be saved by the righteousness of faith. That's not God's plan at all. To be saved by the righteousness of God that Paul says here, it's always been the way to be saved. To have this righteousness that comes to us by grace has always been in the Bible as the way to be saved. It was witnessed to by the law itself and the prophets. Now it was witnessed to in the law, in that the law is not just commandments. When the people refer to the law, a lot of times they meant the first five books of Moses. Now there's lots in there besides giving of law. The law pointed to the righteousness that comes through faith, and we know it because Paul says so in the life of Abraham. Abraham comes out of the book of Genesis, the first five books of the law. Paul says in Romans 4:1-3, what then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So here we have this righteousness that comes by faith. And that was given to Abraham in opposite to the righteousness that's earned by works. The law reveals the righteousness of God in that it serves the gospel. And we'll be working this out further down the road. But the law serves the gospel in that it reveals sin, right? By the laws of knowledge of sin. And the law serves the gospel in that it pointed to Christ, our righteousness. You learn that when you go to all the temple. You look at the temple, the structure of the temple. You learn about it when you look at the intent of the sacrifices in the Old Testament. The gospel was being proclaimed for a mind who would receive it by faith. So the law testified to this righteousness, but so did the prophets. And we know that Paul quotes the prophets. For example, in Romans 4, he quotes David. David was a king, but David was a prophet. And quoting David from Psalm 32, he says this in Romans 4:6, just as David speaks of the blessing of the man whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. So David, in Psalm 32, he's preaching on this righteousness of God. And of course, Paul, in Romans 1, 16 and 17, he quotes Habakkuk 2:4 in the saying that, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. And he gets that from the prophet Habakkuk. So as man, in the history of the scriptures, of man kept on sinning and growing deeper and deeper in sin and falling short of the commands of God's law, the law and the prophets pointed to a righteousness that would come from God apart from the law. Third, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that this righteousness comes to us through faith. For all who believe, for there is no distinction. To possess this righteousness, then, is to receive this righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is a great hope for all who have accepted God's diagnosis of what it means to be under sin and under death. To be declared by the law and by God Himself that there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none good. There is none who seek God. We are all condemned. But now it's telling us that by faith, I can have a righteousness from God. So before, the weight was on, I must perform. And I've fallen short. I've sinned and I fall short of the glory of God. But here, there's this righteousness that comes by faith. To gain life by the law is useless and impossible. That's why Paul said in Romans 3:20, because by the works of law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So, to gain life by law is useless and impossible, because the law reveals, it was appointed for life, but it reveals our death. But now, I can have there is this righteousness apart from the law. And it comes through faith in Christ. Now, I still haven't learned what that righteousness is, but at least I know that there was a righteousness demanded. I failed. All have failed. None are righteous, and we're all under the wrath of God. But Paul is saying, but now, listen, apart from the law, there's this righteousness that has been revealed. It's been witnessed to by the law and the prophets, and it comes through faith in Jesus Christ. I hope you've seen that so far. Paul said in Philippians 3:9, he says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, the man who has faith is the man who is no longer looking at himself. He no longer looks at anything he once was. He does not look at what he is now. He does not look at what he hopes to be. He looks entirely to the Lord Jesus Christ in his finished works, and he rests on that alone. So faith is looking away from ourselves and looking to Jesus Christ. And Paul says, in Christ, there's a righteousness of God. Now, what else does Paul say about this righteousness of God? And it's building up. It's building up. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now look at verse 24. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Paul says that this righteousness justifies us. He says in Romans 3:20, because by works of law no flesh will be justified for in his sight, for through the law is the knowledge of sin. And being under sin, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. There is no fear of God. We have no righteousness. And the law exposes that. But in faith, there's a righteousness of God. Under law, it was demanded that we perform, and we all failed, and we have no righteousness. But in the gospel, in Jesus Christ, through faith in him, we gain this righteousness, and through this righteousness, we are now justified. We are now in a place of being in the right with God. This justification under law, no man can achieve, but there is a way to be right with God, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of faith is how we have life. And this righteousness is credited to our account. Look what he says in Romans 4, 1-5. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteous. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies to the ungodly, his faith is counted or credited as righteousness. So the righteousness of God that justifies us is a righteousness of God that comes freely, and it's laid to our account. Now, so far, I hope your mind's seeing it, that there is a righteousness that was expected of all of us, and we've all fallen short of that. And the standard which marked out that righteousness was the law. And instead of gaining life by law, we always gain death, because the law reveals our sin. And so the announcement of the law unto God is, there is none righteous, no, not one. So the question is for us, can I be right with God? Because based on the righteousness of God, my unrighteousness demonstrates his righteousness. And his righteousness is demonstrated in that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men. I am buried. I am condemned. And as Paul says, my mouth is shut. But there's a hope. Because God reveals that there is a righteousness that we can have. And that righteousness is apart from the law. There's a righteousness by law. It's foolish to go there because it's impossible to gain. But there is this righteousness that can justify, and it's free, and it comes through faith in Christ. So I'm looking at my life, my relationship with God, and I can say there is a way to be right with God. And it is by righteousness. But it's not a righteousness that I do. It's a righteousness that comes through faith in Christ. So what is that righteousness that comes through faith in Christ? What kind of a righteousness is it? Well, in Romans 5:19, Paul says, for as through one man's disobedience, that was Adam, many were made, or better word there is constituted, sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, many will be made righteous. You see, Christ's obedience is how we are made righteous. 1 Corinthians 1:30, Paul says this, because of him, that is God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You see, Christ is the wisdom of God. He is even the righteousness of God. He's our sanctification and our redemption. So, by the obedience of Christ, we're made righteous. In him is righteousness. And then the big exchange in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Paul says this, for our sake, he made him, that is Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And theologians say there's a big exchange there. Our sins were given to Christ, were credited to Christ, laid to his account, and he died for our sins. His righteousness is credited to our account, and we live. We live. Wayne Grudem says, when we say that God imputes Christ's righteousness to us, it means that God thinks of Christ's righteousness as belonging to us, or he regards it as belonging to us. He reckons it to our account. So when God looks at me, a man who has no righteousness under law, who has failed and fallen short of the glory of God, and yet God gives to me a righteousness that makes me right in his eyes. And that righteousness is not what I do, but what someone else has done. Christ. It's a righteousness outside of me. It has nothing to do with my behavior or anything that I do. It doesn't have nothing to do with my faith, my obedience, my disobedience, anything. It's completely outside of myself. The righteousness which justifies is the obedience of Jesus Christ. The righteousness that condemns is our own attempt to try and be saved by the law. It's impossible. There's only one way to be right with God, and that's to own the righteousness that justifies. And the righteousness that justifies comes from Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. In the gospel, we learn how God developed the perfect righteousness which gives life. And that righteousness is the obedience and life of Jesus Christ. And it's imputed to us, to all who believe. And we are justified by that righteousness. That's how we're made right with God. That's how we live before him daily. You know, when we're lost, it's hard. Because it's built into us. I gotta do. I have to do. I have to do. I have to do. A lot of people think they're just already good, and so they have no fear of God. They think, well, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to heaven. And we know all about that. But as Christians, we don't live in the freedom by which Christ has set us free. And so often we fall from this joy and freedom of the righteousness of God because we look to not the righteousness of God that justifies me and makes me right with God as a righteousness that's completely apart from me. Completely apart from me. Has nothing to do with my obedience, my faith, anything. You cannot substitute those words for the righteousness of God. My faith isn't the righteousness of God. My faith looks to where the righteousness of God is, where I can get it. But faith itself is not righteousness. And a lot of times as Christians, that's what we do. We say, oh, if only I had greater faith, God would love me. If only I had proper faith, I'd know I'm saved. You see, what are you doing? You're putting faith under law. You're saying that what justifies me is how much faith I have. Or what justifies me is how much obedience I do. Or what justifies me is how close I feel to God, or how close I feel He is to me. If I can gain that, then I'll be right with Him. But no, faith and justifying faith does not come from looking within. It looks by looking without. And when the eye of faith looks and sees, there is my righteousness. Right there, in the person of Jesus Christ, He is my righteousness. By His obedience, I have been made righteous. There is the righteousness that makes me acceptable and have life with God. I am free in Him. I am alive in Him. Oh, great God, how we need to focus and have our minds filled with that, so we can fight sin and temptation and persevere in strength, because we know that we're right with God. So this righteousness of God is apart from the law, is witnessed to by the law and the prophets. It comes through faith in Christ, and this righteousness, this alien righteousness, this righteousness that's outside of us, is found through faith in Christ, and it justifies us. It declares us in the right with God. It's the answer to how can I be free from condemnation? How can I be free from hell? How can I be free to be alive unto God and have Him as my God and me His child? How can I ever be in the right with God? And God says it's by owning this righteousness that's outside of you, a righteousness that comes through Christ. Tim Keller said this: righteousness is a validating performance record which opens doors. When you want a job, you send in a resume. It has all the experience and skills that make you, you hope, worthy of the position. You send it in and say, "Look at this, accept me." Your record has nothing on it that disqualifies you from the job. And it has, you hope, everything that will qualify you. Every religion and culture believes that is the same with God. It's not a vocational record, it's a moral or a spiritual record. You get out your performance record, and if it's good enough, you're worthy of life with God, and you're accepted. And then Paul comes and says, "But now, for the first time in history and the last, an unheard approach to God has been revealed, a divine righteousness, the righteousness of God, a perfect record is given to us." No other place offers this outside of the gospel. We must develop a righteousness and offer it to God and say, hopefully and anxiously, "Accept me." The gospel says that God has developed a perfect righteousness and He offers it to us, and by it we are accepted. This is the uniqueness of the Christian gospel. It reverses what every other religion and worldview and even every human heart believes. It just reverses it all. It reverses it all. The righteousness that justifies, the righteousness that sets you free. It's apart from the law. It's apart from law works. The righteousness that justifies and makes you right with God, it was witnessed to in the scriptures. And the righteousness that sets you free and gives you life comes through faith in Christ. His obedience is our righteousness. And God lays it freely to your account. And God measures whether you're in the right with Him or in the wrong by whether you possess this righteousness or not. If you don't, you're lost and dead in your sins. If you own this righteousness that comes by faith, you are a child of the living God. You are free in Christ. You are accepted of the Father. It is the power of God. It is God's power. And so often we say, the law and even our own conscience says, do and live. But the gospel says, live and do. Live and do. We say, do, and maybe I'll live. The gospel says, you're alive. Now you're going to be transformed. Now you're going to do works. Not to save you, but because you've been saved, because you're righteous. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in us and begins to transform us. And even in that transformation, we feel, oh, so full of sin. Oh, God, how I fall short of your glory every day. But I can look to heaven and know that God is for me and not against me in my war with sin. And I can know that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because I have the full righteousness of God that justifies me. And owning that righteousness now, I can go to my God whom I sin against every day and love him and enjoy him and ask for strength from him and wisdom from him and power from him to help me walk daily in a life that pleases him. You see the difference? The difference is I see myself as one who is free. Oh, may we find life and hope in him and our security all in him. And may that knowledge, that joy of being made right with God freely by grace, may lay hold upon us. And as disciples of Jesus, may we live for him. Not to gain his favor, but because we are in his favor, we love and serve him. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we've got so much more to learn from this great letter of Paul on the righteousness of God. But I trust your Holy Spirit today and I put it upon our hearts and our minds to understand about this righteousness. How it is free. It's apart from works of law. It was witnessed to by you in the scriptures. We can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and know it's a declaration of it. That it comes through faith in Christ. And it is the righteousness of God is the righteousness which justifies us and gives us life. And Father, we want to understand how you worked that all out. And I pray that as we look in further into the text of Romans, that Father God, we can see how you are both just and a justifier of the ungodly. Lord, I pray you'd set your people free here today. Set me free, O Lord. Paul tells us in Colossians that for freedom Christ has set us free. And the greatest freedom, Lord, is to know that our sins have been dealt with, that we have life with you, that you love us and have accepted us freely in Christ Jesus. And Father, it's hard as a Christian. So often, Lord, we struggle with our acceptance of you. Lord, we battle with, am I saved or not? Over and over again. And sometimes those are good questions to ask. But many times, our Lord, they're a result of our taking our eyes off of the gospel, off of Christ, and focusing on our own sinful heart and not rejoicing in the righteousness of God and not singing out our freedom. But Lord, we become introspective and cold and afraid. And Father, I know that's not where you want us to be. You want us to walk with the joy of the Lord and with a thankful heart. So, Lord, may today, as we contemplate being righteous in your eyes freely by grace, may it put a smile on our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I was sitting yesterday.